when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, well, good afternoon to all you people out there. We're back once again by the grace of God. And I tell you, we're back. Thank you, people, for tuning in tonight. We're here again by the grace of God. We made it by the skin of our chinny chin chin. As you know, the finances, no matter how much willpower you have, no matter how much passion you have, I don't care what you do in this life, you have to have money. We barely made it. That did pretty good. Leaned on some people, leaned on some friends, and they came through. So we're going to be safe for again for airtime. But people, if you will, please, if you hadn't donated, I'm not joking with you. We're not making a nickel here. We do this just out of passion. It's a calling, like a minister. If I had time, I'd tell you about praying for a lady just last Thursday, and it caused a miracle. I don't have the time. Maybe next week we can do it. But tonight, people, it's going to be another barn burner show. I don't know if you know or not, but today is December the 7th, and it's Pearl Harbor Day. My dad fought in that great war after Pearl Harbor. We're going to have a very emotional show tonight about Pearl Harbor. It's going to be the second hour. Matt's going to help us carry. Matter of fact, thank Matt for some work he did sending a tape to Sam we're going to play. It's a very emotional tape. The first of tonight, we have a special guest calling in. She's been on once before. Her name is Bertha Voss. She's calling in from Germany. She's going to let us know what's going on over there with the alternative party for Germany. Jacob's going to come in, and Jacob's going to pretty well drive that interview. But before we go any further, people, I've never been more serious. Please bow your heads. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to say this once more time. This is another rabbit trail. But I promise you, I give you my solemn vow, I'm not getting anything out of this. There is a God. There's a God of the King James Bible. That God saved me 2 months before my 62nd birthday. And February the 8th of 2009, I've never been the same. I'm not what I should be, but I'm better than what I used to be. I've backslid some. But if you will, even if you don't believe, if you'll do this for me, if you're listening to me all the time, you must have some trust in me and my crew. If you will hit your knees and ask God to come in and tell you the prayer I did, the prayer that saved me, I asked God, all I asked him for was faith, because I was miserable as hell. My grandson was going to this church. I used to mock Christians. I couldn't stand them. I didn't like people that went to church. I went out of my way to insult ministers. And then it hit me. It saved me. I was saved by the grace of God. With that, people, please ask for guidance from God Almighty. And with that, people, I'm going to shut up and go to Lee. Lee, take away the prayer, son.
Okay. Our Father, dear Heavenly Father, please help the South Africans and the white South Africans as they are getting persecuted by the tribal leadership and by the oligarchy behind them. And please help our political prisoners, and please help us to get out of wars, civil war too, and please help us in all our needs and guide us in Jesus Christ. We pray, amen.
Thank you so much, my dearest younger big brother. He's my big little brother. I love Lee to death. I've known Lee. Me and Lee have been in this trenches for a long time. But people, I'd just like to say again, I don't like to ask for money, but I don't hate it as bad as I used to. I really don't hate it that much anymore, because, you know, I know we're doing a service. We're doing God's will. And we're going to keep fighting for you, but just because we're safe right now for the next couple of quarters, that doesn't mean, I mean, the expenses go on and on and on. And I'm telling you flat out, Sam has cut us a break. Sam, he's letting us broadcast on his dime, so to speak. I mean, it's costing Sam more to let us broadcast than he's getting out of it. I'll put it that way. So even if you want to send some money to Blood River Radio, you don't have to send it to me. Just send Sam a check for how much ever you got and say, hey, this is for Blood River Radio. You know, you can send, I don't care who gets it, as long as we get to stay on the air. That's all we want. Well, anyway, people, I'm going to shut up. I'm just going to go back over the outline again. Yeah, I don't know if you know or not, but about a week ago, the one and only Tex Mars died. Tex Mars was on our show a couple of times. There's never been another Tex Mars. He's sent me all kinds of literature. In fact, I got a book right here. If you ever get a chance to read it, it's called Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. He was a prolific writer. He was really a pioneer. He still has a show. Before he died, he had to go into retirement. He turned his entire business over to his staff. He didn't sell it to him at all. Anyway, we'll try to do a better memorial for him maybe next show, because we're cram-packed tonight. But please keep Tex Mars' family in your prayers and his show. I think it's called The Power of Prophecy. Like we said earlier, Pearl Harbor Day. We're going to cover Pearl Harbor Day pretty much in depth the second hour with Joel Price. Joel Price comes on. If you've been listening here long, we have the first Saturday of every month, we bring the League of the South on. We're bringing Joel Price on. We're going to make an announcement. Dr. Hill told me a day before yesterday they'd have a court date now. Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs will have to be in Charlottesville, Virginia, from October the 26th until November the 13th next year. Well, me and Matt can go up there, but we can't. That's almost 3 weeks, people. That costs thousands of dollars. Matt couldn't take off work. I don't know how we're going to do that. It's going to be almost 3 weeks, and I don't know how many people in the League of the South can come up there. Me and Matt are going to be able to go for a couple of days. Hopefully we can broadcast. I don't know if I'm sure as hell no, they won't let us broadcast in the courtroom. But it is going to be a very dangerous atmosphere up there. So please keep us in your prayers. Me and Matt and other guys from the League of the South, we're going to try our ambition, what we want to do. We want to run like a little detail, kind of like a phalanx, a bodyguard, because they're going to have targets on their back, people. The Antifa are full aware of what's going on. They're going in there to a kangaroo court. Go ahead, Lee.
I'm just saying it's right there before the election, Trump's election, if he stays in office, if he's not impeached or gets assassinated or whatever. So that it's on purpose. They're going to do it. They're going to be a big circus.
That's right. Well, you know, Blood River's going to be there. And hopefully, I don't know, maybe if we get set up right, if it works right, maybe Sam will let us broadcast over Liberty Roundtable that morning, whenever the verdict's passed down. And maybe even, who knows, maybe, it won't be on Saturday. I would say we could broadcast, so we could come in there and call into James' show on Political Cesspool, but like we did it a couple months ago. But anyway, people, we're praying for League of the South. Pray for Michael Hill and Mike Tubbs. And listen, please, God, send us the money. We need it desperately. If we're going to go to places like Charlottesville, it takes one hell of a lot of money. Anyway, we're going to a break, people. We'll come back, and hopefully we're going to bring Jacob on board, and he's going to carry the lion's share of the interview with Bertha Voss from Germany. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seat.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Okay, people, we're right back, and I'm very honored and happy to bring on Jacob Tyler. And whatever Bertha Voss calls in, if she doesn't have any problems, she gets in. Jacob's going to pretty much run the interview with Bertha Voss. How are you doing, Miss Bertha? How are you doing tonight, young lady?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Hello to hear you again. Nice to hear you again, Eddie.
Well, I'm glad somebody likes to hear from me. Lord knows we have plenty of enemies. Sam tolerates us. Jacob and Lee tolerates me. Matt tolerates me. I appreciate you for tolerating me, Miss Bertha. But listen, before we bring Jacob on, I was just going to say, ask you, I didn't get a chance to read your outline totally, but I think I kind of remember some of it. You're going to talk about the alternative party for Germany tonight, isn't that right?
Yes.
How about that Frau? Am I pronouncing her name? Her name was Frauke Petri. She has a PhD in chemistry. She's married with four children. She was the head of the alternative party for Germany, and then she stepped down. I'm just setting the table for Jacob. And she stepped down under some kind of controversy. I believe she said that she thinks that the party was becoming too hard, and when she said that she thought the face of the party was coming too hard, I immediately smelt a rat. I saw red flags. Is she? I'm gonna set this table because I'm gonna turn it over to Jacob, Bertha. Did she sell out? Is she a plant? Did she get afraid? Is there just infighting, normal infighting in that party? And you take off and explain that. And when you get through explaining that, I want Jacob to take up and ask questions he's got. Go ahead, Miss Bertha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this happened 2017. At the national elections, and this was, and I remember she said that it was not something internal. It was that she said that the environment, the people around her who are not in the AfD, was so hostile to her being in the AfD, being a leader, And that's why she put it down. But she stayed in politics, and I think she created with her partner or her husband the blue ones. And I think she's still in business, so to say. She's still in politics, but she's not part of the AfD anymore.
So why do you think, and I didn't get all that because my ears aren't that great. Now, am I right? Did I hear you say that if not the people in the party weren't mean to her, there was the people or the people that are around her, say friends, acquaintances,
yes.
People, they were the ones giving her a hard time.
Common people confronting her being hostile, because it's still being in the AfD is still being, you're told that you are a Nazi, that you are dangerous, that you are, you know, not good for Germany. In that sense.
So, in other words, she's short on courage, short on guts. You know what? You're never going to get anywhere in this world without courage, without guts. What do you say about that, Jacob?
Oh, absolutely, I agree wholeheartedly, and it's just a shame that we are so often in our political circles more hampered and more hamstrung by our own infighting and drama within our own circles than the enemy could ever impose upon us, than any dynamic the enemy could ever impose upon us. And I myself, this is actually, it's a sad commentary on the one level, but it's one reason why I myself maintain the level of optimism that I do about the future, because, as powerful and as well-financed as our traditional enemies are, they do very little in terms of actively opposing us. I mean, naturally they do things here and there, and then there's these this political climate that we all live in. But, we do more to trip ourselves up than ever they do. And I am very optimistic that if we can ever get over ourselves and put aside some of this petty infighting, which so pervasively typifies the movement, writ large, then the enemy will really be starting to find cause for concern then. And so I can't help but note how it's interesting that it's the same phenomenon, it seems, in many respects, even if it's not as bad here in the States, over in Europe. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. So,
Miss Bertha, it's to your knowledge. Now, first of all, I'm neglected to, I probably didn't introduce you correctly. That the fellow who's just talking is a young fellow. He's 30 or 31 years old. He's a co-host with Blood River Radio, a very valuable co-host. He was born in the movement, to quote him, as probably his father was. But, I will back up what Jacob said. There's a tremendous amount of infighting, not only in our movement, and I don't like the term alt-right. I consider us on Blood River, we're what we call the hard right. We're the hard right. We're the patriots. But there's infighting in our movement. I don't think there is as much infighting. In fact, I'm positive there's not as much infighting in the real hardcore hard right. Blood River, League of the South, the Knights, the Klan. We don't do the infighting like these other little mamby pammies. That's why on our website we say we don't care to work with the so-called all right. Miss Bertha, in your movement, Are you a member of the Alternative Party for Germany, Miss Bertha?
No, but it's no problem, because you can do your vote. It's your own decision if you want to become a member and or not. I did some party business, but it's not for everybody. It can be very tiresome and problematic.
You're referring to activism in general for political parties like the Alternative Party for Germany, if I'm understanding you correctly, Bertha?
Yes. I'm not so fond of party business because of my experiences with that. And as far as I know, because the intellectual center is Schnellroda with Gert Kubitschek, and he already did his criticism of the party, political party business and as such, because if you start a party and it's getting involved into parliament, it's getting adjusted to the whole system. So sooner or later, it may be losing its spear tactics, or its the spear, or what would I say, the target, yes, it's getting adjusted to the system. And there are many already who are criticizing the AfD, for example, being pro-Israel. And I think, yes, this year, with the help of Steve Bannon, they created this Judeo-Christian Front and while going into the European Parliament. I think it's now Identity. They made a fraction in the European Parliament with the Front National, the Rassemblement, is it now? They changed the name in France. Mm. And so, especially people who are nationalists are not convinced that the AfD is the real alternative for Germany. It did a lot of, it was opening doors. And as far as I know, they had more ties to the American Renaissance and alternative, the alt-right.
Miss Bertha, we hear the music coming. You may hear it, but we have to go to a break. We will go right back, and I have a quick question to ask, and then we'll throw it to you and to Jacob. As soon as we come back from this break, people, hold on to your seats. Be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
U.S. officials investigating the deadly attack by a Saudi aviation student at a naval air station in Florida are continuing to work to determine whether it was motivated by terrorism. An aviation student from Saudi Arabia opened fire in a classroom at the Naval Air Station Pensacola yesterday morning, killing three people. The assault, which prompted a massive law enforcement response and base lockdown, ended when a sheriff's deputy killed the attacker. Eight people were hurt in the attack, including the two deputies. Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott issued a scathing statement calling the shooting an act of terrorism, whether this individual was motivated by radical Islam or was simply medically unstable. Again, this is the second shooting at a naval base this week. A sailor whose submarine was docked at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, opened fire on three civilian employees on Wednesday, killing two before taking his own life. This is USA Radio News.
Hi everyone, Wayne Alarouche. Listen carefully to another great offer on one of the most sought-after assets on earth. The world of political turmoil just gets crazier and crazier. Impeachment hearings, China trade wars, Fed money pumping, which are creating bubbles that could burst any day now. With one exception, gold and silver, which are currently undervalued and have excellent growth potential in 2020. So here's another irresistible offer to help you cash in on asset protection while you still can. My sponsor, Swiss America, is willing to ship my listeners another popular silver coin, the U.S. Peace Dollar, for just $16.50 each delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. There's an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling 800-289-2646. Write it down. 800-289-2646. Get your supply of silver U.S. Peace Dollars for just $16.50 each delivered. 800-289-2646 or go to SwissAmerica.com.
The president is challenging Congress on his potential impeachment. With that story, here's USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
Now, President Trump in a tweet saying, "I say if you are going to impeach me, do it now, fast, so I can have a fair trial in the Senate and so that our country can get back to business. We will have Schiff, the Bidens, Pelosi, and many more testify and will reveal for the first time how corrupt our system really is. I was elected to clean the swamp, and that's what I am doing," explanation point.
Two North Carolina towns have canceled their Christmas parades due to fears of unspecified threats of violence from groups who plan to protest the inclusion of Confederate groups.
Wake Forest said in a statement that its downtown board of directors voted to cancel this year's parade due to the potential for violence. The neighboring city of Garner canceled its own parade a week earlier, citing concerns the event could be targeted for disruption. This is USA Radio News.
We're right back, and we have our great guest, Miss Bertha from Germany. She's calling in, Miss Bertha Voss, and we have Jacob online. He's primarily guiding this interview. You know, Miss Bertha, you know, I noticed where this, I was reading earlier before I came in, if I'm not mistaken. Now, didn't the AFD, didn't they not poll a third place, probably the best they've ever done, third place in the elections? Was that in the elections in 2017? They replaced third, that they placed third place in the parliament there in Germany. Am I right on that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did a very good, very well job with 18%. And the direction of the old party system, so to say, and mostly West Germans, was a bit quite shocking. And now this year, 2019, we had federal county elections, like Saxony, Thüringen, Brandenburg, and that way they had they were second place between 23% and 27%.
Wow!
There wasn't it was a very good result. Even though we had this Yom Kippur shooter, which was on, you know, you remember Halle on the 9th of October, pretty before the election was going on. And, of course, they blamed the AfD for this shooting. I think two Germans died. A mother and his and her son, and yes, they were quite. And he made a hole in the synagogue, and yes, and then shortly afterwards they having a. They were pitying the that the Jews and Muslims and migrants were under attack. And yes, they blamed the AfD for it. Although the attacker, Stephen Ballett, well, he had no German name. He came out of North Rhine-Westphalia, as far as I know, to have a shootout in Halle, where they still have no big migrant population and not these kind of problems like West Germans have, which was all pretty strange. So many think, or as far as I could see it, it's a kind of Christchurch 2.0.
Yes, you know, well, there's nothing more commonplace, Miss Bertha, than these false flag attacks. I mean, every time people of our mindset, every time we have a nationalist, you know, people that love their own race, white people, white Christians that love their own race, love their own country, and sick and tired of out-of-control immigration, you can always count on something like one of these false flags. And I'm going to tell you what really gives me optimism before we go back to Jacob. When you were saying that that the part of the FD scored about a 28%, I believe you said, in the what would be like state in the United States, it'd be like elections in Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, et cetera. 28% in the outlying areas outside of the central government, so to speak. That would be like, you know, to me, that would be like the League of the South running delegates and doing the same thing. That would be a great high hope. What do you think about that, Jacob?
Yeah, no, that sounds very promising indeed, and it definitely is an outgrowth of this phenomenon that we're seeing where the enemy is pushing us so hard now, where they're actually doing more to radicalize, so to speak, a people who are more moderate and more on the fence than we could ever do. You know, when you think of the SJW agenda and how now it's no longer enough to just attack nationalists often people who are identitarians and engage in activism of that stripe in particular. You know, it used to be just people that were sufficiently controversial were attacked, but now the rhetoric is so over the top that you're evil, you're the devil incarnate just for being white. And we see such extreme manifestations of Stockholm syndrome and just how much this cancerous ideology has taken root in society with, you know, instances of the terror attacks in London. And I'm sure it's been happening in Germany as well, where a terrorist actually goes and rapes and murders some man's daughter, and the father responds to this by going on social media and telling people not to be Islamophobic. And, that Molly Tibbetts incident where the family took money that was raised as an outpouring of love and support for them and donated it to a migrant charity and things of that nature. So what Berta's describing here very much strikes me as an extension of this phenomenon where we're being pushed so hard at this point. We're being pressed so intensely that more and more people, moderates, people that aren't identitarians per se, people that aren't radicals or political activists per se, are now coming out and voting more in favor of these conservative parties because they're just looking to the people that don't actively hate them for even existing. What do you think of that, Berta? Does that ring true in your own estimation?
Well, you must keep in mind that these three federal states, Thüringen, Brandenburg, and Saxony, are Middle Germany. Middle Germany and former Soviet Union. They were for the GDR. So they know communist regime. And so they are voting the alternative for Germany, because they still remember what it means to live under a communist regime. It has nothing much to do with Adolf Hitler, on the other hand. But the media likes to see it in that way, especially the West German media. And the outrage of this, especially in Saxony, almost 30%, which is a very good result, even though we had this Yom Kippur killing. Yes, they said, okay, we must, on Twitter, some said, okay, we must give them migrants, especially to train them and to educate them to think the right way as such, which is really strange at all, because it has nothing to do with democracy. It is imposing your worldview on others. And in that sense, we have this divide of former FDR, Germany West, and Germany East, which is, in fact, Middle Germany, because we still have East Prussia and all these in Poland, or which belongs now to Russia and Poland. So
now,
sorry,
just a quick question here, just to impress upon our audience here a little bit, just how impressive this figure really is. You know, 28%, you're saying, almost 30%. That's almost a third of the vote. So,
it's,
you know, here in America,
huge.
We go by, like, the popular vote, and then there's, like, a broader voting category as well. And so just for the clarification and our consideration here, this 28%, is this of the equivalent for y'all in Germany of the popular vote? I mean, is this the total population, or is this more of a regional? I mean, it's impressive in either right, but
Saxony.
So we can fully wrap our minds around this.
No, it's Saxony, which was
in the
news for being very Nazi and anti-racist and so on. I think, you remember Chemnitz and all this stuff, when they tried to mourn the death of people who drew those migration waves, who came to death because of migrants and refugees. And yes, this was shown as Saxony was the epicenter of racism in Germany. And this was also very hard for many Saxons, because they think I love my country, I'm doing the right thing. And it was not very funny.
And Germany is. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No problem.
Okay. Well, so it's significant, too, that the number would be that large, because, you know, we're talking about this extreme marginalization, you know, this phenomenon where we're being subjected as a people, you know, Europeans and Americans alike, we're being subjected as a people to the very very sort of bigotry and prejudice we're being accused of. So in the name of fighting Nazism and ensuring that there's never another Adolf Hitler, the German people are now being demeaned in ways far worse and far more pervasive and insidious than any injustice or indignity that was ever alleged to have been perpetrated against the Jewish people and other peoples that were in the German nation. So it's just, I'm just floored at how significant this figure is, because even in the face of all this gaslighting, Berta, that your people are enduring right now, don't be a Nazi, you can't vote for your interests because that's what Nazis do. You still have this 28% vote for this party, so that's tremendous and very encouraging.
That is huge. That's gigantic. Well, we got to go to another break, y'all, and we will come right back after this break. Got to take a little break. Got to pay through a few bills, hopefully. People, hang on to your hat. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Go get your quick cup of coffee, but don't stay too long.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the sh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, thank you for holding on to your seats. We're right back. I'm going to read a couple little quick excerpts from this paper I've got from the Knights out of Harrison, Arkansas. Speaking of you know, Miss Bertha mentioned the communists, how, you know, the Eastern Germany was in under communism for a while. They were under the boot heel of the old Soviet Union. Thank God they're now freer. I'm going to read this little excerpt from this paper in reference to Miss Angela Merkel. It says right here, her maiden name was Kastner. I'll bet you $10 to a donut she was Jewish. It says, I'll get Miss Bertha to comment on that. It says right here, I'm just going down to about middle of this article. It says, Germany's Merkel is a former communist. Then known as Angela Kastner, she was propaganda secretary in the Young Communist League. She may have shed her economic communism, which I don't think she did. I mean, what do you get to call a European Union? She may have shed her economic communism, but remains a dedicated cultural Marxist. In other words, it means anti-white. She is a militant anti-nationalist. Hence, Frau, the lady we mentioned a minute ago, had to step down from the AfD because of all the animosity toward her. Her immigration policy will help displace or replace the German people. The ideas behind the European Union were not a benign move toward a more economic cooperation. No kidding. A peaceful existence and breaking down of barriers. It was designed to probably put forth and bring into fruition the system put out by this Count Richard von Kallenderhove Kallergi, if I'm pronouncing it right. He was the founder and president for 49 years. He was German, of the Pan American Union, the forerunner of the EU, of the Economic Union. In his book, his 1925 book, I can't read this. This is Latin. It's anyway. He says this is a guy in Germany now. He was mixed race himself. He was a Eurasian Negroid. He said the man of the future will be mixed race. It will replace the diversity of peoples currently there in Europe. It will replace the Germans, the French, the Italians. He says Bushelvism constitutes a decisive step towards this purpose, where a small group of communist spiritual aristocrats govern the country. If you want to know who this small group of German communist spiritual aristocrats will be, well, he tells you in the next paragraph, and I'm almost through, people. He says, Jewry surpasses all other peoples in the percentage of important men, with Trotsky as the forerunner of modern politics. Of course, Trotsky was Jewish. Who wouldn't know that? The prominent position held up by the Jews these days is owed to their spiritual supremacy. Modern anti-Semitism is one of the many reactionary phenomena of the mediocre, us little people, against the supreme. That was written, by the way, this guy got, in 1950, was awarded the Charlemagne Prize. Other winners have been, I'm almost through, y'all, have included Winston Churchill the traitor, Jewish mother, I would also like to add, Henry Kissinger, Edward Heath, Bill Slick Willie Clinton, and Tony Blair. Anyway, people, Jacob, would you like to take off on that? And then after you get through, Jacob, just kick the ball back off to Miss Bertha.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking as you were reading that, you mentioned that this guy was given some kind of award bearing the name of Martell. And yet this guy was an artist, yes. Globalist. So, I mean, it's so Talmudic, folks. You know, if you're not familiar with
Orwellian,
you know, it's very Orwellian and it's very Talmudic. In the Talmud, the Talmud talks over and over again about how and they actually revel in rubbing things in the faces of the goyim. You know, the people who follow the Talmud, who are given religious license in the Talmud to, you know, mistreat and abuse and exploit the goyim, the cattle, the people who aren't of their lineage, you know, in any way they see fit. It also expresses over and over and over again how they actually revel in rubbing in their faces, rubbing in the faces of their victims, what it is they're doing to them. And so it's just so ironic in all the wrong ways that this ardent globalist Satanist, you know, would be awarded this medal that's named after one of the great heroes who turned back a tide of alien invaders, referring to, you know, foreigners, not actual aliens from outer space. so, yeah, I'm sure you needed to hear that. But, yeah, It's just so ironic, yeah. So, Berta, I have a question for you about this party. It's very interesting to hear about, and it's very exciting to hear about the headway it's been gaining, of course. It sounds like it's not without its problems, as is the case with every political organization in our circles. It seems like we're not – it's hard to gain very much traction at all without some measure of compromise being made. So there will always be criticisms at any individual and organization that basically boils down to whatever compromises they are making. But – how does, for our reference here, how would you compare the ASD to, say, Greece's Golden Dawn or Viktor Orban's party in Hungary, or even the hard right, as we like to say here on Blood River Radio, and the alt right, which is Richard Spencer types and everything here in the U.S. How would you compare the ASD to these different very active and very prominent political organizations elsewhere throughout the Anglosphere?
Mm-hmm. The AFD has, compared to the United States, no ties or anymore. There were contacts through American Renaissance, as far as I know, but as I could see from Germany, that it broke into its pieces, unfortunately, from my side, but okay. It's this typical infighting. And, life will go on even in the U.S. So maybe you will find a new concentration point or as such. The AFD, on the other hand, I don't know if they have contacts to Orban as such. They're more closer to Marine Le Pen, Salvini, and this kind of group. I don't know if the Hungarians are in this parliament fraction at the moment. And in that sense, Viktor Orban is also kind of standalone. And because he was, Hungary was the starting point, because Viktor Orban was very early in the center of criticism for his politics. And yes, he was kind of the first one. And then the alternative for Germany started as a Eurosceptic party. And I remember very, very well that the ambassador of Russia at that time in 2014 or 15, when they became successful, they were invited, and the Russians said, "Okay, we will help you." This was under Bernd Lucke. And then we have this infighting, because we have still a liberal wing in the AFD and a conservative wing. And the conservative wing is like Björn Höcke, Mr. Gauland, Alice Weidel, in that sense. And we have a more liberal transatlantic wing, like Pazerski, and parts of the AfD in West Germany. And they still try to kick out now and then Björn Höcke, but so far they weren't successful. As for the Kohlenhof-Kalergi plan, I think it's 80 years ago, and now we have people maybe who know this stuff, but it's not really important anymore. This extinction and race mixing is just a collateral. It comes along with the idea of this the United States of Europe and the United States of America, and that with this will come a new monopoly.
Ms. Berta,
that's why we had TTIP.
Ms. Yes? Berta, we're about to run out of time. I've got to ask you a question. You mentioned Alexander Gauland. Now, to my knowledge, Alexander Gauland, he would be closer to us. You mentioned... American Renaissance. American Renaissance is like watered down Kool-Aid compared to Blood River and some other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You would be a lot better off working with us than you would that organization. And if that's punching the right, too bad. I don't punch to the right. I take a baseball bat and slug to the right if people aren't to the right enough to sue us. But anyway, with this Alexander Gauntlin, he is more hardcore to my knowledge. He's come out and he's laid his cards on the line. He said that the race mixing in Europe is going to destroy Europe. He has pulled no punch. Well, we're running out of time. I wish I could ask you that question. Miss Bertha, thank you so much for being on our show tonight. Hopefully, as soon as we can, we'd like to get you back, but there's so many unanswered questions we did not get to ask. So good night. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Miss Bertha. And thank you, Jacob, for coming on and helping us to the show tonight. We couldn't have made it without you, my brother. People, hang on. My going to a break. We're coming back. We're going to do a great Pearl Harbor League of the South tribute. So we'll be right back in just a few minutes. And please forgive me. No, don't forgive me. Hold me responsible for punching to the right. I love punching to the right. God bless you. Be right back.